Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech sergeant who died in a helicopter crash in Sinai is due to be repatriated on Friday. The number of new coronavirus cases continues to decline in the Czech Republic, and special veterinary measures will go into effect to prevent the possible spread of bird flu and African swine fever. The Czech army has confirmed that the Czech soldier killed in a helicopter crash in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula was Sergeant Michaela Tichá. Sergeant Tichá served in the multinational force known as MFO, which monitors the Israeli-Egyptian peace accord. She's the first Czech woman to die during a foreign mission. Her remains will be repatriated to the Czech Republic by a military special on Friday. Six Americans and one Frenchman also lost their lives in the crash. One member of the mission, also an American, survived the disaster but is reported to be in a critical condition. Around 7,874 new cases of COVID-19 were registered in the Czech Republic on Thursday, which represents a fall of around 5,400 from the previous week. There are now 140,201 active cases in the country. The number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 has dropped to 7,564, with 1,120 in a serious condition. Some 47 people died on Thursday, bringing the overall death toll to 5,755. Since the pandemic began, almost 446,675 people have tested positive for the coronavirus. Nearly 300,000 of them have already recovered from the disease. Special veterinary measures will go into effect on Monday to prevent the possible spread of bird flu and African swine fever to the country, Agriculture Minister Miroslav Toman said on Thursday. The measures include intensive hunting of wild boar, a ban on the import of trophies and litter, or measures to prevent the contact of wild birds with poultry. Outbreaks of the highly contagious disease have appeared in neighbouring Poland and Germany. A woman from Brno gave birth to a healthy baby boy while in a coma due to a COVID-19 infection, the Czech news agency reported on Friday. The baby was born at the end of October, about 2 months before the due date. The woman was admitted to the hospital in her 30th week of pregnancy with severe pneumonia caused by COVID-19. She was connected to artificial lung ventilation, but when her vital signs started to fail, doctors decided to induce labour and give birth by caesarean section. The baby and the mother, who was awoken from artificial sleep after 11 days, have already been released into home care. Young Czechs have greater trust in the army, police and courts than in politicians, suggests a survey carried out by the Czech Council of Children and Youth. According to the survey, every third respondent in the 15 to 29 age bracket considers elections a waste of time. Roughly 80% don't trust other people and 40% prioritize their freedom at the expense of other people's rights and needs. The survey, supported by the program Erasmus Plus, was carried out between May and July among over 1,500 respondents. The use of firecrackers and fireworks will be banned in selected places in Prague on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day celebrations, according to a decree approved by Prague councillors on Thursday. The ban on firecrackers, rockets and other explosive material will be in place in the historic city districts, parks, nature-protected areas, around watercourses, near retirement homes and other social care facilities, and also in the vicinity of the Prague Zoo. It will be for the first time in many years that there won't be any fireworks or alternative light performances organized by Prague City Hall. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Saturday will be cloudy to overcast with daytime highs ranging between 9 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Frankova, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the country mourns the first Czech female soldier killed in a foreign mission. We'll bring you the details. And good news from the Šumava Mountains. The quality of lakes severely damaged by acid rain in the 20th century has started to improve. Later on in the program, Czech scientists develop peptide with a potential to treat obesity. Stay with us. Czech member of the US-led multinational peacekeeping force in Sinai was one of the seven peacekeepers killed in a helicopter crash over Tiran Island on Thursday. So the Czech Republic is now mourning its first woman killed in a foreign mission. The Black Hawk helicopter of the US-led multinational force was on a routine monitoring mission over Tiran Island when it crashed. Five Americans, a French national, and one Czech, 27-year-old Sergeant Michal Ticha, died in the accident. Magdalena Dvořáková, spokeswoman for the Chief of Staff of the Czech Armed Forces, confirmed the news late on Thursday.
Jde v pořadí o 30. vojáka armády České republiky a první ženu.
Sergeant Ticha was the 30th Czech soldier and the first woman killed while serving in a foreign mission.
Condolences have poured in to family and friends, with Czech top officials stating their admiration and respect for all Czech soldiers serving in foreign missions. "We have lost one of us, Sergeant Michal Ticha. These are losses that one can never be fully prepared to deal with. My heartfelt condolences to her family," Army Chief of Staff Aleš Opata wrote on Twitter. "We have lost another brave soldier in a foreign mission. We should be proud of the men and women serving in the Czech armed forces," Prime Minister Andrej Babiš wrote when news of the tragedy broke. President Miloš Zeman likewise expressed his deep respect for soldiers serving in foreign missions. Meanwhile, the cause of the accident is being investigated, but early reports say a technical problem may have been to blame. The MFO said it had no indication the helicopter crash had been anything other than an accident and expressed appreciation for the cooperation and support of Egypt and Israel in the recovery effort. The multinational force and observers was installed to monitor the demilitarization of the Sinai Peninsula under the 1979 Egyptian-Israeli peace accord. In a statement of condolence, Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi described the MFO as extremely important to maintaining security and stability in the region. The mission draws personnel from 13 countries, and Czechs have been part of it since 2009. Presently, the overall number of Czech military personnel serving in the mission is 18 people, including air and ground personnel of the Czech Army with Akasa aircraft. Their main tasks include the operation of checkpoints, patrol and observation activities along the borders of Egypt and Israel and on the territory of Sinai, and ensuring free navigation across the Strait of Tirana. The mission uses two bases in the Sinai area, the southern base in Sharm el-Sheikh, where the mission has its headquarters, and the northern base in Sinai in Gora. The Laka Lake in the Shumava mountain range was severely damaged by acid rain in the 20th century. Now the quality of the water is improving once again, and several dozen trout have been detected in the lake. A science team is conducting research to find out how they got there, as Tom McEncrow reports.
Less than 3 hectares in size, Laka is the smallest lake in the Šumava Mountains. It is also the highest situated, and from now also holds another title. It is the first lake in Šumava to have trout return to its waters. The discovery has excited hydrobiologists from the Czech Academy of Sciences, because up until relatively recently, Šumava's lakes were so acidic that no fish species could survive in them. However, the water composition in the area has been changing since 1989, and 10 years ago a trout was spotted in the stream leading out of the Laka Lake. Hydrobiologist Petr Blabolil from the Biology Centre of the Czech Academy of Sciences told Czech Radio that the return of trout to Laka is the result of several factors.
It is thanks to constraints on the surrounding industry as well as due to improvements in waste collection technologies. In the past, the Laka was especially affected by exhaust gases that got into the air and then lowered the pH level of the lake, making it more acidic. The local beavers also played their part because they built dams on the tributary streams, which caused the lake to raise its surface level and form spillways. It is through these that we believe the trout got into the lake.
Přelivy, které pravděpodobně sloužily pstruhům k úspěšné migraci do jezera.
He has collected several samples of fins from the fish, which are now being analysed by his colleague Kateřina Soukalová.
When we look at the trout scales, we can see yearly increments comparable to the annual growth rings on the stump of a tree. With the help of these markings, we can then determine how old the fish is.
Estimating the age of the fish living in the lake is only part of the research, says Mr. Blabolil. The main focus will be on genetics.
We want to find out whether the trout population in the Šumava area is different from that in other parts of the country. If so, it would suggest that they are indigenous. If not, it means they were somehow brought here.
The science team plans to visit the lake again during the spring of next year and search for fish larvae. If found, it will be proof that trout is not only back in the lake, but also capable of reproducing there.
Tom McEncrow with that report. Now, you are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, and it's time for our main feature. Czech scientists have developed a synthetic peptide that could help treat obesity as well as several other diseases. The patent for the substance has already been purchased by a major pharmaceutical company focused on diabetes. If further research goes well, scientists hope it could be developed into a drug within 6 to 8 years. Tom McEncrow has the story.
It all began 15 years ago, when biochemist Lenka Maletínská from the Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry at the Czech Academy of Sciences filed an application for a grant that would support her research into diabetes and obesity. It was evaluated by Dr. Martin Haluzík, a diabetologist at the Institute of Clinical and Experimental Medicine, IKEM for short. He had just returned from the United States.
I was on a scientific internship where I worked on research looking into experimental diabetes. I thought it would be useful to have someone in the Czech Republic who is focused on this issue. I was very interested and found out that Dr. Maletínská, along with her fellow scientists at her institute, are capable of developing several molecules with interesting properties. At the same time, I had just arrived with new experience of testing on mice. It was a lucky coincidence.
He would only tell Dr. Maletínská several years later that it was he who had to act as the opponent to her grant application. By then, the two had forged a successful partnership, working on a peptide that had been identified as a naturally produced hormone within the body during the late 1990s. Peptides are amino acids that can be used for treatment ranging from skin care to weight loss. However, as Dr. Maletínská explains, hormones externally ingested by themselves have little effect on the body, which is why they need to be modified scientifically.
You can observe this substance naturally, for example, in the brain of a mouse. But if you wanted to use its natural form for treatment, it would basically be impossible. It would quickly dissolve and not pass through the blood-brain barrier. You would have to inject the hormone directly into an obese patient's brain. Therefore, we had to think of a way to make the substance more stable.
This can be done via a chemical process and the modification of the substance's chemical effects. If a molecule with the desired effect is developed, it can then be tested on cells and thereafter on animals such as mice. Through a joint project between the Chemistry Institute and IKEM, a team of several dozen scientists would go on to develop such a substance. It showed promise of being able to tackle the body's craving to eat, says Dr. Maletínská.
We add a fat component. After that, we get the peptide into the blood via injection under the skin, and it gets through the blood-brain barrier. We are currently looking into how it affects the body, but it looks like one effect might be a change in the lipogenesis of fats. In simple terms, that means that the fats get slimmer. So does the liver, for example, which gets fatty among obese mice or human patients.
The substance is currently being tested on mice. Results have shown that when injected with the modified peptide, these animals can lose 20% of their body weight within a space of 2 weeks. It is hoped that if it were made simple to use by human patients, it could help tackle obesity, because the peptide makes the brain think that it is already full. It is not the first peptide capable of fighting obesity. Indeed, some are already being used to treat patients. However, the one developed by the Czech team could significantly boost the effectiveness of weight loss drugs, according to Dr. Haluzík.
The success story of using peptides for treating obesity has already begun. A similar substance called glucagon-like peptide 1 was successfully clinically modified and is already used as a drug to help tackle obesity as well as diabetes. However, these hormones work through a different receptor. Where I believe that the peptide we are developing could make a huge difference is through combined use with drugs that are already implemented in treatment today. This could result in a major increase in the effectiveness of weight loss and therefore also help in the fight against associated complications. After all, it is not obesity itself that causes patients to die, but the resulting cardiovascular diseases, cirrhosis and others.
The potential of the Czech-developed molecule has already been noted by Novo Nordisk, a major pharmaceutical company that specializes in obesity and diabetes. It has bought the patent for the peptide and is currently working on modifying it for use, says Dr. Haluzík.
They have a wide portfolio ranging from insulins to peptides. If a company of this size, which can choose among several thousand, if not tens of thousands of molecules, selects this one for research, it shows that it is an incredibly interesting substance.
Novo Nordisk currently shares the grant provided for researching the uses of the molecule with the Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry. The latter is currently focusing on researching the potential of these substances on diabetes, obesity and Alzheimer's disease. However, Dr. Malikinska says that it is still too early to be sure that the project will actually be successfully concluded.
The likelihood that this will all end successfully is still at around 1 in 100. That said, when we started, the research was close to zero, so there certainly is hope. In any case, I believe that if anyone is capable of making it work, it is this company.
If the project does indeed prove successful, the two scientists hope that the substance could be developed into a prescription drug within 6 to 8 years. Dr. Haluzík says that if long-term weight loss is proven to alleviate diseases associated with obesity, the chance that the drug will be subsidized by health insurance companies will be much higher. For now, he says that it is important to highlight the dangers of obesity and start regarding it more as a disease, because it can lead to severe complications for the patient.
Tom McEncrow with that report, and it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And remember, you can always follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter as well. This is Danielle Azarová saying thanks for listening and take care.